Hey, it's George here from Fun Kids Breakfast, and this is Fun Kids Meets, the podcast where we meet amazing people. And in this week's episode, you can hear my chat with author of The Clockwork Conspiracy, Sam Sedgman. We're talking all about his big and brilliant new book and loads of interesting facts and stats about time. We're getting some really cool leap year information, and Sam, who is just the best, will be giving us an inside look about how an author goes about writing a book. So let's start now by hearing from Sam about how people should celebrate leap years.
Well, it depends where in the world you are. It depends on how you should celebrate Leap Day. Because if you are in the UK, the main thing, I think, the tradition that we have here is that if you're a woman, you can propose to a man and it's okay, as though it's not okay the rest of the time. It's one of those old traditions that doesn't date very well.
No.
I discovered that in Taiwan, leap days are unlucky for elderly people. And so married women are supposed to return home and cook a special meal of pig's trotters for their elderly relatives to help dispel the bad luck. Have you ever had pig's trotters?
I don't think I have. Have you?
I actually have. They are surprisingly tasty.
Really? What? How did you have them served?
They're sort of in a soup. You have to sort of suck the meat off the bone. It's not a pretty thing to watch someone eating.
No.
But it is delicious.
Okay, well, take your word for it. Is that for dinner tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Any chance I get. No, I'm not. As not an elderly Taiwanese person, I would not be having pig's trotters.
That's true. Now, Sam, you've got a brilliant new book out, The Clockwork Conspiracy. Congratulations, it's been very well received.
Oh, thank you very much.
In all the charts and everything, yeah. It's great. Now, you had to learn a lot about time for this book, right? Because time is right at the heart of this.
Absolutely. It is a mystery story. It is a locked room mystery and adventure all about time and clocks. And I got the inspiration for it when I did my biggest piece of research, which was going on a tour of Big Ben. And listeners,
what?
Anyone can do this. I didn't realize now that they've changed the rules and anyone can have a tour of Big Ben. You just have to buy a ticket. And it is a phenomenal way to spend 90 minutes. You get to climb all the 334 steps inside the Elizabeth Tower, look at the clock itself, and stand like me and my dad did, because I went with my dad, stand in the belfry when the clock strikes the hour. And you have to wear ear defenders because it's so loud. But it's so loud that you can hear the vibration of the bell, like, in your rib cage. You can feel the sound in your bones. And if you put your hand on the stonework of the belfry, you can also feel it vibrating through the stone as well. It was an incredible experience.
And was that the thing that you were like, you know what? There is something in this. There is something about time. There is something I want to write about here.
Absolutely. I often say that I think writers, you know how, like, Spider-Man has a spidey sense? Mm-hmm. I think that writers have a writer's spidey sense. Sometimes when you, like, sniff out a story, you're like, yes, there's a story here, I need to find it.
And it was the feeling of the...
It was the shaking of the stonework and the bells, and also seeing the incredible clockwork mechanisms of Big Ben sort of jump into life that made me go, oh yes, there's something interesting here that my brain is interested in. I will find out what that story is.
And you went on to write this. It's kind of like an action adventure mystery series.
Yes, it's all the genres.
All of them put together.
I don't discriminate. I'm shoving all of those things in a blender. Now, so I'm a big nerd and I love mystery stories. So it is a locked room mystery story. But there's a book called Isaac Turner. His dad is the keeper of Big Ben and he vanishes from the belfry on the night the clocks go back. So it's a classic kind of impossible crime thing that's happened. But along the way, yes, there's rooftop chases, there's lots of explosions, there's lots of cliffhangers. I sort of threw everything into the book that I wanted to make it a really, really fun time. So it's not just one kind of book, it's all kinds of books. But mainly it's supposed to be really, really fun. And full of some awesome facts about time that you might enjoy learning about.
Now, Sam, before you wrote the book, were you a time expert?
No, absolutely not. I was not an expert in time at all. But one of the great things about being a writer is when you discover that you're interested in something, you can make yourself an expert by finding out as many interesting things about it as possible. And time is so full of weird stuff. Like, for example, leap days. We're here today on leap day.
Yeah.
How often is a leap day?
Every 4 years.
Nope.
What do you mean? What?
So a leap day, listen carefully, a leap day happens every 4 years unless the year is divisible by 100. Unless the year is also divisible by 400. So in the year 2100, there won't be a leap day.
Why?
So, well, the reason we have leap days in the first place is because the Earth's path around the sun is 1 year, and that doesn't take exactly 365 days. It takes about 365 and a quarter days.
Right.
So one in every 4 years, we add an extra day to the calendar. But it's not exactly a quarter. It doesn't line up neatly. So every now and then, we have to sort of add and take away a day to make sure that the Earth's path around the sun roughly matches up with our calendar. So, like, spring doesn't doesn't sort of drag itself into August, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's not every 4 years. Not a lot of people know that because most people aren't alive long enough to see one of those 100-year anniversaries. But yeah, if you live as far as 2100, you're in for a treat. There won't be a leap day.
You just have a day less.
Absolutely, yeah. Indeed. But I mean,
it kind of sounds like you're missing out.
Well, the thing is, the calendar's weird and wonky, right? Like, why is February the shortest month? Why are all the months different lengths? Mm. That makes no sense to me. There is actually a guy called Moses B. Cotsworth, great name, who in the 20th century invented a new kind of calendar because he was like, the calendar is too messy, we need to simplify this. So he proposed that every month be 4 weeks long, exactly 28 days. It would always start on a Sunday, so the first of the month would always be a Sunday, and that means that every month would have a Friday the 13th in it, by the way, which is really funny. But if you are good at maths, you'll realize that if you have 12 four-week months, there's not enough days. So he added an extra month, a 13th month that came between June and July that he called Sol. So it'll be like an extra month. And if you're really, really good at maths, you'll realize that 13 times 28 is 364. So there's still a day missing. So at the end of the year, he added an extra free day called Year Day, which is like a freebie because it's not in December. It's not in January. It's not in any month. It's not even a Wednesday or a Friday. It's just like a floating day.
This guy's got a great name, but I'm not sure he's figured this out.
But look, the thing is, it's simple in the right that like everything is normal, like every month is the same and it's standard and it's nice, but then it kind of doesn't quite work because no matter how you try and chop up time, it doesn't quite work. Time is too messy, but we think of it as really like fixed and ordinary, but it's not. It's a nonsense, however you slice it.
Yes, but you know, sometimes things are like beautifully messy, aren't they? And you just got to roll with it. obviously, your book, there's no spoilers, there's a lot of stuff in there about time and whether it should be changed. Did you learn any other interesting time facts whilst writing the book?
Oh my God, several. So my favourite fact about time is that you know the bits around the edge of a clock face that divide it into 60.
Sure.
What are they called?
Second thingies.
Good shout, but no. It's nothing to do with minutes, nothing to do with seconds. They're called chapters.
Chapters?
Yeah.
And great, they are.
As an author, that's the kind of fact that makes you go, whoa, that makes you run around the house and shout it to everyone who wants to listen, which is no one. but no, that's why my book has 60 chapters. Because you can't hear that and think, oh, give my book a random number of chapters. That's when I decided the Clockwork Conspiracy would have 60 chapters.
Is it challenging though as a writer to then be like, oh, now I have to write 60
chapters? Oh no, so I love it. I'm very much the kind of writer who likes to be given a shape and fit the story to that shape. So once I knew there were 60 chapters, I got out all my post-it notes and put them over the wall. I was like, right, 60 chapters, what's happening in each one? So I love that. A lot of writers like to kind of make it up as they go along. I very much like to have a plan, as you might be able to tell. Very mechanically minded person, me. I like to know how the different pieces fit together. And then when you're writing mystery stories, you need to have like clues and setups and payoffs and things. That's very much how I like to write. But that's not every writer. Some people would not like being told that there had to be 60 chapters.
It's regimented, but great. It fits perfectly with the theme. Any other interesting time stats for us?
I mean, I should tell you the central conceit of the Clockwork Conspiracy, which is that there's a law going through Parliament to make time metric. And this is based on a real thing that happened in the French Revolution. So in the French Revolution, after they'd finished chopping off all the heads of the kings and queens, they invented the metric system. They invented the kilogram and the meter because they were trying to standardize all the world's measurements. And they tried to standardize time as well. So for 5 years in France, this really happened. There were 10 hours a day and every hour had 100 minutes in it and every minute had 100 seconds. In it, because like counting and doing sums with time is a lot easier if you do that, even though it makes my head hurt. And so in my book, there's a law going through Parliament to do that again today, to make that happen, because you know we live in a modern computer age where everything's decimal, and wouldn't it be nice and simple if we changed our time? And you might think this is ridiculous, why would we ever do something like this? But of course we did do this with money in the 1970s. Back in the 60s and way back into the past, in this country, we used shillings and half crowns and things like that, old money. There were 240 pence to the pound. And we had this very complicated system of money that we'd had for generations. And we decided that's too messy. We'll simplify it. We'll make there be 100 pence to the pound. And overnight, decimal day, I think it was in 1971, we switched currencies. And everyone agrees now, yeah, that was a smart thing to do. We all agree that this is a nice, easy way of running it. So why wouldn't we do that? The same thing with time.
Interesting. Maybe we're about to start a time revolution.
Oh, let's do that. I'm always up for starting a time revolution.
You have got, Sam, haven't you, a few picks for us. Some interesting things that we might like to look at or read or listen to because we're celebrating time today.
Oh, absolutely. So much stuff has been made about time. And I should say, like, my book's not about time travel, but I love time travel. I love anything with time travel in it. Obviously, I loved all of the Back to the Future movies.
Some of my favourites.
Absolute classics, especially the second one. Because this isn't really a spoiler. In the second one, they go back into the first one.
It's double time travel at the same time.
It makes my head explode. It's lovely. This is also why the third Harry Potter is my favourite Harry Potter, because there's lots of time travel in it, which is phenomenal. An older book that I loved growing up called Tom's Midnight Garden is absolutely fantastic. Tom is a character who moves to an apartment in the suburbs, and he's kind of being put into quarantine, and he can't go outside, and he hates it. But at midnight, the clocks strike 13, and a door opens up into a magical garden that's in the past, and he travels back in time into this beautiful garden and makes friends with a girl called Hattie who lives there. And it's kind of about a friendship across time, and there's lots of fun time travel stuff as they go kind of back and forth. That's really, really wonderful, and it's a beautifully written book, Tom's Midnight Garden. Also, I thought I'd recommend some gadgets to your listeners.
Go on.
You can buy quite cheaply online at various retailers a digital sundial.
Okay.
So you know how a sundial tells the time by, like, the sun shines on it and it casts a shadow at, like, the number that tells you what time it is?
Yeah.
Digital sundial is a very cunning 3D printed thing where you shine a light through it and then, like, it writes out the time in digital print, like, on the ground because of all the angles of the light. It's very difficult to describe, but Google digital sundial.
Yes, I'm Googling it.
It is, like, the coolest thing in the world if you like a weird clock, as I do. I have various different definitions of cool here. This is what I would think.
This sounds cool.
I would also say, if you are in London or anywhere near London, you must visit the Royal Observatory at Greenwich, which is the home of Greenwich Mean Time, of course, where all of the nation's clocks are set for from, technically, because that is when the sun is highest in the sky at Greenwich, that is noon in this country. Unless it's the summer, because we put our clocks forward, and that's a whole other conversation.
We haven't got time for that.
But it's a wonderful museum full of incredible facts about time and clocks and amazing science. I had the best time there. And also they have an incredible gift shop that sells beautiful things, including I have a 50-year calendar, which is it's just like two little bits of brass that twist, and you can sort of set the year to the date, and you can tell, like, what day of the week your birthday is going to be on in, like, 25 years' time. It's an incredible little tiny little gadget.
I want one of them.
Great gift. I should have got you one.
That was the brilliant Sam Sedgman chatting to me all about leap years and his brand new book, The Clockwork Conspiracy, which is out now. You've been listening to Fun Kids Meets, the podcast where we meet amazing people. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.